Good morning. It's good to see you today. We're glad that you're here, and we continue to be grateful to our Lord for the opportunity to be able to worship Him together. If you're visiting, we welcome you, and we appreciate your presence. We hope you can come back and join us tonight at 6 o'clock for our evening service, and if you have questions of what is taught or practiced, we'd be happy to discuss those with you. We're mindful in the passage that just read together that there is protection against sin in the Word of God. As that passage particularly deals with, how is it that the young man can keep his way clean? By taking heed according to God's Word, he says in verse 9. In other words, to give consideration to how we are living in reference to God's Word. See what God's Word has to say and conform ourselves to it. And that's the basis upon which we're going to be spending some time this morning talking about sin. Actually, both lessons today deal with different aspects of the subject of sin. It's such a critical subject, one that is so vitally important that we understand and that we see clearly from the Word of God concerning our responsibilities in reference to that problem and to this thing that is that causes eternal death. Romans 6 and 23 says the wages of sin is death. So if there is sin in our lives, the psalmist said, if there's sin in my life, he said, I'm gonna take heed to my life according to your word. I'm gonna cleanse my way. I'm gonna give my whole heart to seeking you and not straying from your commandments, O God. He said, I'm going to put my word in my heart. I'm going to hide it in my heart. Reminiscent of what the Hebrew writer would later say hundreds of years later when the application is made of Jeremiah's prophecy that God desires and has planned that His word be written in our hearts. Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10. He says, I do that I might not sin against you, O God. And then he blesses and praises God for His Word, for His statutes. We can be thankful God has given us a message that protects us, that keeps us from sin. To contemplate the ways of God and delight ourselves in them. To not forget God's Word. These are among the ways to be protected against sin and protect ourselves against becoming addicted to sin. Remember, Joshua told Israel, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. There's a choice that we all make about who will be our master, who we will be a servant to. And the choice must be that we choose to serve God, that we choose His will. So if you're here this morning and you've not made that choice, then we urge you to make it according to the Word of God. Choose to serve God by faith that Jesus is the Son of God, confess it and repent of your sins, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of those sins, and He will redeem you. He, by His blood, will forgive you your trespasses, your sins against Him, save you from death, give you life, add you to His church, and from that day, this day forward, living with Him with the sure hope of heaven when this life is over. We urge you to obey the gospel. We urge you as a Christian, if there's sin in your life, don't become addicted to it. Put it away. Repent of it. Change your mind toward it. Repenting and confessing it to God in prayer. He's promised His forgiveness of His children of such things. And so, we want to help you. We want to help you be right with God. At the end of this sermon, we're going to invite and encourage you to respond to His call to be saved in the Son. This matter of addiction to sin, what is addiction? We can go to book definitions of it. The compulsive physiological and psychological need for a habit-forming substance. Addiction is the condition of being habitually or compulsively occupied with or involved in something. So we can understand that from the standpoint of a psychological or a physical habit forming, this craving for something that's a habit forming, and so we say a person is addicted to cigarettes, or addicted to drugs, or addicted to this or to that. It does speak to a habitual or compulsive occupation, to be occupied with something, to be involved in something. But the questions come about, well, if that's the case, then what kind of accountability exists? Because you see, when we start talking about medicine, modern medicine and psychiatry or psychology, you know, those things begin to convince people that somehow they're not really accountable because they have an addiction sometimes. And that the addiction itself is the problem. And that tends to remove a personal accountability that we need to recognize is not or is a deviation from what the Word of God has to say about personal responsibility and accountability for the choices of our lives. But unfortunately, in the mindset of many of the professionals of our society, the idea that if somebody is compulsively addicted, then they're really the victim. And so there's this victimology that kind of grows up around compulsive addictions that person really is the victim of the addiction. Is that biblical? Is that, well, there's no question that sin devours us, that sin, Satan is devouring us, and sin can overwhelm us. But the idea of addiction that may at times remove some of the issues of controllability in the modern mind, thinking that, well, if you're addicted, if you have a compulsion to be involved in some action, then it's really beyond your control. And yet that's not really true, because people with obsessive compulsive disorders are being taught every day how to control those disorders, how to change, learning techniques to overcome those things. So it's really not right to say, well, those things are beyond your control, I'm just addicted and there's nothing I can do about it. No, there is a control issue. But again, if we're not careful, we can allow sinful conduct that is of a compulsion of a sinful nature to begin to convince us, well, I no longer have to be ashamed or feel guilty about it, because after all, I'm just addicted. And I'm a victim. And if that's our mentality or our thinking, then we really need to do some changing of the way we think. If our idea is, well, I'm addicted, I'm compulsive, and really there's nothing, no guilt associated with that. My question would be, if that's true, then what about the fellow who's the serial murderer? And he's addicted to taking life. Is he accountable? Is he guilty? Should he have shame? What about the compulsive rapist? You see, what about the compulsive child abuser? So to try to move and say, well, I'm addicted in some way to something, then there should be, I'm a victim and there's no shame associated, no guilt involved. Really, that's the rationalization of the human mind, not the divine. The Bible teaches us behavior is chosen. We choose sin, or we choose what is good. And really, at some point, when we're talking about things that are sinful, hear me, when we're talking about things that are sinful against God's will, at some point, we made a choice. At some point, we chose to pick up the bottle and pour the drink and drink it. At some point, we made a choice about the drugs that we're addicted to, and not for a medicinal benefit, but for a recreational or otherwise sinful compulsion toward. At some point, you see, choices are made about viewing pornography. and allowing that into our mind and life. At some point, we chose to begin gambling the money that God has blessed us with. At some point, we chose to lie. And if now I'm a compulsive liar, it's because at some point I made a choice to continue in that conduct. See, when we're talking about sinful behavior, that's what I'm talking about, sinful behavior now. We need to focus our attention on. The Bible says that God has always called upon men and women to make choices. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, Moses, the prophet of God, to Israel, said, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, and He is your life, and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." So He said, choose life. I've set before you the way to obtain life, to obey my voice. Make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What we're talking about here is the matter of sin and being addicted to sin. The Bible talks about people who were addicted to sin. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Peter describes some folks then who, among other things, it says they were having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. So, there's no doubt that a person can become addicted to sin. Sin is enticing, it's alluring, and it's addicting. And one can find themselves in a situation where they have yielded to that enticement. So that, as he described here, people who had eyes full of adultery. Job had said, "I made a covenant with my eyes that I might not look upon a woman to lust after her." These people didn't make that kind of covenant, but instead just gave themselves fully to it and cannot cease from sin. That is, they've so yielded themselves to sin that there was no stopping. They had trained their hearts. Watch that. Their hearts had been trained in covetous practices. And this is key. This was not beyond their control to do. Their hearts were trained to do it. You see, if I'm addicted to some sin, it's because I've trained my heart to it. I've given my heart and life over to it. See, the idea that I'm a victim and I can't help myself is foreign to the Word of God. We're talking about sin here. You see, things that are against the will of God is because there's been a training of myself toward that sin. In Ephesians 2, 1-3, Paul picks up this same theme about sin and expands it some. He says, "You made alive when you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you all once conducted yourselves in the lust of our flesh." Also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now, look, he uses such terminology here as walking. You once walked. That was your course of life, he said. Disobedience. Sons of disobedience. So here are choices of violating the will of God. We conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. You see, we were by nature children of wrath. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That is, we were yielding to those desires. We were choosing them. In choosing the desires of the flesh and the mind, we became children of wrath because we sinned. We were disobedient. We fell under wrath. You see, the wages of sin is death. And so, by nature, we were children of wrath. That word, that idea of nature, just means it was our habit.
That was the course of conduct that we pursued. We made choices. He's describing us before our redemption. And all who sin fall short of the glory of God. There's been a choosing to go a path, to set a course of conduct
that ends in death. Training the heart, filling ourselves with those things that are against the will of God. Can sin be addicting? Yes, if we choose that habit. Sin's enticement and its temporary pleasures can consume us. They can overwhelm us when we don't give ourselves to it.
Moses was committed because he did not yield to the passing pleasures of sin.
The pleasures of sin for a season, he resisted. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither is he tempted any man.
But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. For the sin when it's conceived bears sin, and the sin when it's full grown brings forth death.
James 1:13-16. So he says, don't be deceived, brethren.
That we can yield to the temptations, be consumed by the sin, and of course die in our sin.
So we need to be careful and cautious about the power of sin against us and in our lives. So in discussing
sin and sin's addiction, what we're talking about is sin that, you know, we choose it and then we just repeat it over and over and over.
There's not an idea here of somebody who he sins and he sees it sin and so he repents of it and he works diligently in faith and in the truth to stop the sin. No, here is
a heart trained in covetous practices. A heart, our eyes given over to the sin, the full of adultery, as he described. But what that does is sears the conscience.
Our consciences can be seared by repeatedly choosing sin. God gave us our conscience to help us train it in truth and righteousness, to help guard us against the sin, and also help persuade us to do the good. If we're not careful and cautious about sin, understanding what it does, if we just choose it over and over and over, it has the effect of rendering our conscience ineffective. It cannot be touched by the sin, by the problem of sin, and by the tragedy of sin, you see. And so we just keep on making the same sinful choices.
Sin repeated over and over, that course of conduct hardens the heart. Hebrews 3:12-13 says,
it warns us about this deceptive nature of sin. It says, beware, brethren, lest any of you be hardened, or any of you develop an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, and exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
So we're to be careful, we're warned, don't develop unbelief in our hearts.
How does unbelief occur? How does it develop and cause us to depart from God? Well, daily, rather than resisting sin, we yield to it. We choose it. We allow it, therefore, to harden our hearts
against God. Sin, when it becomes the repeated choice of our life, hardens us, producing unbelief. And the Bible would go on to say in Hebrews 6, it makes repentance impossible.
The point being that as long as one's repeatedly choosing sin, they're not going to choose to give it up. There has to be a drastic and radical change. But you see, he warns. He says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. Seeing they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Here who are those who in unbelief have fallen away. Their consciences have been seared. Their hearts have been hardened. And in that condition of the choice of repeated sin, He says it's impossible to renew them to repentance. Great damage is done by sin
that is repeated over and over. So we must learn to know the problem and to overcome the problem in Christ Jesus.
Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. If we will take the Word of God and allow it to be living and active in its work in our hearts, implanted into our heart, James 1, 21 and 22, to bear the fruit of righteousness rather than continuing to choose sin. Romans 3, 15 through 18 talks about the problem of sin and the addiction really of that we're describing here, this repeated choice of sin. Their feet were swift, are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And there is no fear of God in their eyes. He's describing this addiction to sin, this choice of a life, of a conduct, of a habit of doing things. We've got to break that habit. We've got to break that cycle. We've got to break those choices to overcome sin's addiction. See, sin, when it's left unattended, grows worse and worse. And those who advocate it simply grow worse and worse as well. See, in 2 Timothy 3 and 13, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Those were among the people described in 2 Peter 2. They were false teachers who were addicted to sin and seducing people to join them in sin, to choose sin. Eyes were set on sin. They were loving the world. You see, there's the problem is a love for the world, for those things that are against the will of God. Such an attachment that one gives themselves over to that rather than break that cycle through repentance, through a change of heart. Changing our minds that will then enable us to change our conduct, make different choices, choose the gospel, choose obeying God rather than those things that are sinful against Him. That love the flesh, love the eye, pride of life. All of these can show themselves to be addicting in repeated choices of sin leading, of course, and causing spiritual death. The lust of the flesh, the enticement of an immediate gratification and satisfaction of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, again, the covetousness and of a heart trained to see and to take rather than a heart of self-control and rejection of those desires. Pride of life is the exaltation of self. See, we're going to address sin's addiction, the habit of sin in one's life, and overcome it. We're going to address that in our lives and overcome it. We're going to have humility. Because the pride of life is the resistance that we have against really dealing with sin in God's way in our life. I want you to think about that. When God's Word teaches us what God expects of us concerning addressing sin that's in our life, and we push back, we're failing to be humble. That's the pride of life. Pushing back. Exalting ourselves. Defending ourselves. Rather than humbling ourselves and yielding ourselves to Christ, to the power of God, to His truth, by which the problem of sin can be resolved, can be remedied in the gospel. See, the idea of being addicted to sin is being ruled by it, choosing to let sin rule over us. It's not that sin overwhelms us and there's nothing we can do about it. We don't have any say in the matter, and we're free of accountability and free of guilt and free of shame. That's just the way I am. No, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. In Romans 6, among other verses in this passage, he says in verse 6, knowing that our old man was crucified with Him, and that the body of sin, or that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So here's a deliberate decision when we obey the gospel and became Christians, a deliberate decision to no longer be slaves of sin, to no longer let sin rule over us. Verse 12, 11 and 12. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Get that? Don't let it happen. Now, the idea of addiction and compulsion, oftentimes even relating to sinful things in our world as well, that's just the way they are. They can't help themselves. No, the Bible says we can. When it's matters of sin, he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not obey it in its lusts. We have a choice. The problem with sin's addiction is we're choosing sin all the time rather than choosing to obey righteousness. Rather than repenting of the sin, changing our heart, changing our conduct. You see, sin promises freedom, but it produces enslavement. That's what he's talking about here. This, when we were dead in sin, before we were Christians, we were enslaved. Now as Christians, shall we go back? Shall we continue to be enslaved to sin by making choices that bring us under sin bondage and cause us to be lost forevermore? He says, may it never be, or God forbid, how shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Verse 1 of Romans 6. You see, alcohol and drugs produce or promise an escape without accountability. And people get enslaved to it, thinking that the bond in the bottle will find escape, but what they find is bondage and enslavement and a destruction of themselves and of those around them that they love and of their soul forevermore. You see, gambling promises wealth without words, but it's rooted in covetousness and it brings poverty and pain. And we've got to break that cycle. We've got to make different choices. See, pornography promises fulfillment and no consequences. Victimless, we're told. But there are many victims of pornography. It causes emptiness and moral corruption, the destruction of homes and of families, of marriages, of dignity. You see, and on the list can go. When we choose to continue to practice sin, lying, you know, to choose to lie, to be dishonest, you know, as if that promises self-promotion and self-vindication, but really what it does is just plunge us into deceit, into deception, into such things of dishonesty that blacken our name, destroy people around us, and of course, all of these destroying our soul forevermore. The problem of sin's addiction is making a choice to no longer choose sin, to no longer let sin be the rule of our lives by the choices that we make, but instead to be addicted to righteousness. In 1 John 2, verses 28 and 29, 1 John 2, 28 and 29, the Word of God says, now little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. So to practice righteousness is to be born of God. Drop down to verse 3, chapter 3 and 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And just for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he's been born of God. Now, is John saying that once you become a Christian, you never commit a sin? No. What's he saying? He's talking about that habit that we've been discussing all this lesson. He's talking about the practice of abiding, Abide in Him, 2:28, not in sin, but in righteousness. Chapter 3 and verse 6, whoever abides in Him does not sin. You see, that conforms with chapter 1. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, He's talking here about somebody who is in Christ will not have the habit of sin, will not keep on choosing sin, because they're addicted to righteousness. They're abiding in Christ. They're going to be making choices of righteousness. So when sin occurs, they're going to confess it, going to repent of it. They're not going to have that as their habit, as their course of life any longer. You see, verse 7, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. That's what he's talking about, is practice. What's our practice? And that's what he means in verse 9. If we're born of God, we do not sin. We don't have the practice of sin, but the practice of righteousness. Look at verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. We can see them. We can know who they are. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Practicing righteousness, being addicted to what is right, making those choices, making that our habit, that's the solution to the sin problem. Developing a heart given to God. You see, I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. The addiction to sin, the habit of choosing sin, can be broken by choosing to let Christ rule over us. Let righteousness rule, not sin and death. You see, Romans 6, he talks about that most thoroughly. He says, you've been raised to walk in newness of life. So now you're united with Him. And you put to death the old man, verse 6, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. He who has died has been freed from sin. Kill yourself. Kill the sins that are ruling over you. Choose righteousness. 11 through 14, we already alluded to some of that. Present your members not as instruments of unrighteousness, but yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Make choices to practice righteousness. 16. Do you not know that whoever you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? You make a choice who you want to serve. Sin doesn't compel you. You don't have to choose it. Or if you choose it, you choose death. We can choose obedience. And choosing obedience to God, we choose righteousness. So Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore your members that are upon the earth. Put to death the sin. These are the choices that we make. These are the choices set before us, to yield ourselves to obedience. Thanks be to God, whereas you were a servant of sin. You see, we were choosing sin. We had the habit of sin. We were practicing it. We were addicted to it in that respect. See, we were just giving ourselves over to it. We had trained our heart in it. But thanks be to God, he says, whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart. You made a radical change. If there was a radical conversion by the gospel, you became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine which you were delivered. That's the gospel that you were preached. You believe and now you obey. And having been made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Now he chose, because of your conversion, he said, now you choose a different path, a different life. To be alert to the dangers of sin, wake up, he says. In Romans 13:11, he's going on to say, awake, for now salvation nearer than when we first believed. We need to be alert to the dangers of sin. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary of the devil is walking about. We need to break the addiction of sin by deliberately choosing to stop sinning. Deliberately choose. Repent of all the sin. Don't let sin have a quarter in our heart. Don't let it have a place. Don't let it reside in the deep recesses to come out and to devour us by the choices that we continue to make. Put it to death. Deliberately choose to do what is right. So look at Romans 13:12-13. Let us walk properly. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Walk properly as in the day. So walk properly.
Change the practice by putting the sin away. Fully repent. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Concludes in that passage, verse 14. We can break the choices of sin by replacing the evil with the good.
Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
If it's true that we have no choice in the matter and we can't help ourselves, then Paul makes no sense when he says, don't be overcome with evil. But he says, don't be overcome with evil. Make a choice. Overcome evil with good. That's why he said in verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Change your mind. Use self-control. Mind over body.
It's mind over body. Paul said, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection. That's after I preach to others, I myself shall be rejected. This matter of sin is having a conviction of the heart, of the mind, that then brings my body into submission. Not to be an instrument of unrighteousness, but of righteousness. To add self-control to the attributes of heart that will then display itself in the choices that I make. That's how I break the habit of sin.
Putting sin to death. Deliberately choosing to stop it. Put on the Lord. Replacing the evil with the good and using self-control and remembering prayer. Pray. In effect,
Philippians 4:6-7. And nothing be anxious, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God,
which passes understanding, shall guard your thoughts and your hearts in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard our hearts if we will use prayer effectively. Pray for God's protection and then use the tools that He's given us in His Word of Truth to be protected, to make the right choices, to not choose sin, but instead to be obedient to God, trusting that as we will obey God, He will work in us. Philippians 2:12-13.
You see, as we are obedient to God, God is working in us to achieve His good pleasure. Because we'll be choosing righteousness rather than sin. So, establish the addiction of righteousness. Whatever is good, pure, lovely, of good report, noble, just, true, whatever. He says, think on these things. Establish that pattern.
Be persuaded by the love of God. We let nothing persuade you to violate the will of God.
After he said, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, he went on to say, for I am persuaded. So neither life nor death, nor things present or things to come, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So, you know, we say, well, I'm a conqueror through Christ. Well, then be persuaded by that and make the choices that will guard our heart.
Be diligent. Trust the Lord with all your heart.
Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will guard your path. You see, the solution to being addicted and having the habit of sin in our life is to establish a different pattern. Trust the Lord. Hear His Word. Walk in it.
Sin's not forced on us. We can refuse. We can obey righteousness.
That's the call of the gospel. That's the distinctive call, is to come out and be separate. Put the sin away. Choose our Master.
Don't choose sin leading to death. Choose obedience leading to righteousness.
Sin It's a tool of the devil that causes us to be eternally separated from God. He tempts us, he tries us to call us away from what is right. Sometimes the habit begins to be established because of our choices. We can change that through repentance right now if that's been the habit of your life. If there's sin in your life, or even not the habit, but you know you've sinned, you haven't repented of it, do that now so it doesn't become a habit. Choose obedience leading to righteousness. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to study about temptation. As Jesus said, we should pray, lead us not into temptation. So we want to study that as well to help us know how we can use God's will effectively in our lives, not to be drawn into and yield to the temptations of sin and death. If you need to make things right with God now and the sin that's in your life, obey His gospel. We want to assist you in that while we stand and we sing that you come.